Afternoons with Roz P.
This is 105.9 Bishop FM.
Yes, welcome back. You've joined us and we're having our interview with Mark Sullen and Alan, telling us all about their fantastic fundraising. And we'll go back to Pauline and we can hear the next part of your journey.
Right, so here we go again. At the end of the fight, that wasn't the end of anything. It was just the beginning, really. So you're also behind the Solon Connor Fawcett Family Cancer Trust. Now, this is a new trust called Just Giving. Could you tell us all about this one?
Right, so obviously when I did the fight, the Just Giving page was set up for the Cancer Research UK. The boxing guys, UWCB, are going to keep that open for me. So they told them just keep running and running. Because I'd raised so much money in such a short space of time, everybody was sort of saying to me, listen, you've got to keep this going.
You could say that you've been knocked out.
Well, it
absolutely.
It's nuts, but to think that I've obviously full-time job and my part-time job, and then in 4 months raised that amount of money, it's crazy. And I've had to sort of keep myself grounded. I haven't really thought about it. I've had so many messages from people who's had cancer, who's lost parents to cancer, and they keep telling me that I'm an inspiration, but the people who are fighting this inspire me to keep doing this. And the fact that so many people, there's a small percentage, unfortunately, who don't get it, who don't understand, because I think unless you've been through it and experienced it, you don't get it. There's a lot of charities out there and people who's been affected by them support them. Unfortunately for me, like, cancer sort of took the two main women from me, from my life, and loads of friends. So,
well, it seems to touch just about every family in the land these days.
Well, I've been doing a bit of research, and I'm going to work with Cancer Research UK. They actually want me to help speak to the fundraisers, and they're going to sort of help me with the trust. I'm looking at doing a charity boutique and possibly like a wellness centre in Spennymoor, so they're going to help me with that. And the statistics are 1 in 3 to 1 in 4 people is going to be affected. If you look at the average household has 4 people, and that's every household in the country could be affected by it, and that's frightening. And they think that at the minute, I think there's 2 million people live with cancer. They predict because of the aging population, it's going to be 4 million people living with it, and it's frightening. And you can either decide to do something about things or just sit there, and this has given me the drive now to do it. When my mum died, I felt like a part of me had died, like there was a gap there, and this has sort of filled that now, completely filled it, and I'm obsessed with it. And the reaction I'm getting from when I'm helping people is just, it's amazing, and it's just dragging me along.
I think it's really took your life over now. Just Giving will directly help people suffering from cancer and their families. That's the big one for you, isn't it?
Well, that's the Just Giving is the page where people put the money onto. Obviously, our trust, the Solon Connor Fawcett Family Trust, that's just at the minute still in the process of being set up. I'm still speaking to solicitors and the accountant to do that. It's really, really complicated. I thought I could just raise money and give it, but it's a nightmare.
More than that.
Even to be unregistered, you've got to register to be unregistered, which is like, it's crazy.
You've got to prove as to what you're raising that money for, and then where it goes afterwards.
Yeah. What comes in, what goes out.
Because so many people these days can then come back at you and say,
unfortunately, people have sort of done things they shouldn't have done in the past, and they've abused it. And so it is to keep me safe, and it's to keep everybody else safe.
Well, you've got yourself a solicitor.
Yeah, so
everything.
So that's going forward. And like I say, I'm looking at, I'm hopefully going to speak with the town council and the mayor tomorrow to try and get them on board. Because this whole Pride of Britain thing now has got a lot of people interested who hadn't really noticed before. I mean, the whole town's been behind me since since day one, but it's just grown and grown and grown.
It opens your eyes, doesn't it?
Yeah, like it's gone crazy. The support has been amazing, but like for me, it's just feeding the obsession now. Like, I've got a notepad by my bed. I've got bits of paper all over the house, writing things down constantly.
Like turned into the Post-it man.
Oh, honestly, it's changing all the time. It's incredible. Like, it's incredible because
you've actually won the regional now.
No, I'm down to the last 4. So I'm in
the northeast.
Yeah. So basically, there was a girl called Donna on my Facebook page nominated me, and then I went mental, and I think in 3 days I had a few hundred votes. So I've got to do the final four. So ITV came out last week, followed me around Spennymoor and Durham. It goes on telly, I think the 10th. The 7th of September goes on the telly, and the winner's announced on the 10th. And the winner of that will go down to London for the national TV. It's on the telly. So if I win, I'm going to be stood there with maybe Bex or something.
Because this is the annual Pride of Britain Awards that you've got through to.
Yeah, it's a mad. I mean, I haven't even got a telly.
You haven't got a telly?
No, like the last girlfriend that dumped us when I got me flat.
Took the telly.
No, it was her telly, but I bought a record player instead. And I'm just focusing on that. But this for me now is my legacy, because obviously Angela girlfriend, I just can't keep them. So I've given up having kids. So my soul and name now will live on with this, and that's it now. And hopefully, sort of, when I'm gone,
it's all consuming.
Yeah, it's just going to keep on running, and it's going to obviously help families like ours that were torn apart by it. Because what I want to do is, the whole point of it, it's not about sending families to Florida on a 5-star hotel. It's not. It's about knocking on someone's door and saying, right, what do you need? And if they need to get to chemotherapy on a Tuesday, the trust will pay for a taxi. If the boiler's gone off and they haven't physically got the money, we'll put the boiler in. It's
because, Mark, I actually first saw you on my Facebook, and there was a lady who put on, she's a friend of mine, she put on, who's put this through my door? And it was a letter, and it was from you.
Yeah.
And you didn't mean that to go viral or anything like that. You put it on, you'd done it anonymously, well, not anonymously, but not for publicity. And this lady wanted to thank you. And she's the lady, I think, that nominated you.
No, it's a different one. It's a different one. It's young Keely who I give the money to.
You put money in to help her because she wasn't coping.
She needs them. There's this girl, she's incredible. She's got tumours and stuff, and she's fighting it all the time. And she's moving away to Manchester to be with a boyfriend and to be closer to the hospital. So I wrote a card out and gave her some money, and I've never been hugged by anybody like it. And I've since done it a couple more times. And that's the whole point of the trust is to sort of just try and make a small difference to
You're
people.
You're coming back to the grassroots of the help that people need that they can't find or having difficulty finding.
Yeah.
That it is those things, like some days you need help to go to the shop for something, or somebody needs to look after someone so that someone else can go and get the shopping in. It's the grassroots of what day-to-day life
is.
It's
the important things, unfortunately. And it's like I say, we're not talking about a real like a funny exciting topic. We're talking about a disease which is horrendous, and it doesn't care what colour you are, how old you are, what gender you are, how much money you've got in the bank, if it comes for you. And it's horrific, and like I say, it touches everybody. And that's why I'm looking at my experience and I'm trying to think, right, what would have made a difference to my life, to my dad's life?
Yeah.
And it's the little things. My dad had the pack working, so who's paying the bills? Who's buying the food? And That's what I want to try and do, is just help out as much as I can. And if I can help 10 families with a little bit and make things a bit easier for them, then I'm happy doing that, and that's what I want to do.
And one of the things that you really want to do is start up this shop that you want to open up in Spennymoor.
Yeah.
And you want to employ people with cancer.
Yeah, that's the plan with that. So with that, it's to... When my mum was ill, and obviously the chemo and the radio, she lost her hair, lost her eyebrows, and she went from being this really sort of confident, outgoing woman to she lost her confidence.
A woman loses her self-esteem, and you just break your heart when you lose your
eyes. Yeah, I think it must be different for guys. I mean, like, do you know what I mean? When my hair fell out, I used to look like Marty Pillow when I had hair, and I used to love my hair.
And,
I wanted to be Marty Pillow.
No, you didn't.
But obviously, when it was gone, I took it off. But it's different for a man. And I remember my mum wanted to work, but she wasn't well enough to do like a full shift, so she couldn't get a job. So the theory with the shop is, if I set a boutique up, not a charity shop, because charity shops have this. They spring to mind of not being very nice. I want it really nice, really cool, open for all ages. I want to make it quite cool for people to donate stuff, I'm going to sell bits of new product in there, and I'm going to employ people who have had treatment or gone through treatment who just want to do a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. Although they're ill, they still want to live a normal life.
And mm-hmm. if you've got cancer, you can't go out there and get a job, can you?
No, no one will employ you. No,
but you would employ somebody.
Exactly. That's who I would do. There'll be volunteers there, but I want to sort of create a bit of a community.
And so that they've got some sort of a normal life.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, they've got a little bit of income, and they've got something to look forward to. Because, if you have a common cold and you just sat on the couch, you get so depressed. But, having an illness like this, you don't want to just be sat there reminded that you're bad. So the whole point of this is to give people, something else to do. So there'll be arts and crafts. I've got...
So you make that person feel useful and normal.
Yeah, and normal. That's the word,
the
normal.
Itty-bitty.
Yeah, because you mention cancer and people freeze. And straight away, people don't know what to say, and they don't know what
sometimes
to do with it.
Sometimes cross the road when you're walking down the street.
Well,
because they don't know what to say.
Yeah.
Not because they're avoiding you for selfish reasons. They just don't understand.
They don't know what people can't cope with it. So hopefully, it's awareness. So hopefully, if I can help the awareness, and if I can help change the way fundraising's done, which is what I've done because I keep breaking fundraising records, that's my aim. So I thought, off the back of that, what else can I do? What else can I change? So now it's gone from just being a boutique. I want to do a wellbeing centre where it'll be places where people can come in.
And it's not really Macmillan that you're looking for, it's to support the whole family.
Yeah, I'm going to work with Macmillan and your Marie Curie. I'm going to work with Cancer Research.
As you said earlier on, this is another little notch in the rail.
Yeah,
it's a spoke in the
rail. I'm not trying to take away from anybody. I'm just trying to add extra sort of
an extra
source. Yeah,
a little bit that's been
nobody
missed.
Knocks on the door and says, "Have you missed a mortgage payment this week?" or "How are you getting the chemo?" They don't do that. And it's like, if what happens if you're a single mum in your terminal? How does the bairn get to school? And that's the thing as well. So I know it's going to be horrific, and I've been crying every week since I've done it, because the messages I get are unreal from people thanking me. And like I say, I don't say that I'm doing anything sort of amazing at all. The people I see fighting this disease are amazing. The people who are having these treatments are amazing.
You know, when you say fighting, it's making us remember just before we went on there, we did talk about you fighting in the ring. And what did they say to you about fighting?
Yeah.
Fighting for
you. Yeah, this is the thing with the boxing. The boxing now seems to, although it was a massive part and that was the springboard for this. And if it wasn't for the guys, there's a guy, Paul from the Unity gym, it's Nick's gym, Paul obeys the boxing coach, and right from the start he came into me and he said, "This is going to change your life," and I was like, "Nah, what do you mean?" He was like, "It will, it'll change your life." And all the way through we've kept in touch, and he'll ring us up, "How much money have you done?" And we saw the total, when I started at grand, and he went, "Well, if you do 5 it'll be amazing." Then when we got to 5 he was like, "Hey, should we do 6 and he was just spurring me on all the time. So, but obviously, the night of the fight, we've done 14,000. And just before I go on, a little bit nervous. I've got 130
people. Have
you had
any big fights before?
I never fought before. No, that's the thing. I've always trained, but I hadn't fought. Mm-hmm. The guy I fought, young Adam, he hadn't fought either. And we were the same weight, but he was a bit stockier than me.
Which wouldn't take a lot of doing, would it?
No, I'm like a tuning fork.
You're like a chip.
And well, not like a chip. So basically, just before I've got on, one of my cousins, I'd had hundreds of messages. The one that stands out, my cousin Paul, who had texted me, "Look, win, lose or draw, you've done an amazing job, but your mum's in your corner." And I'd have took Mayweather on. And I said before to you, when I got in there, young Adam, it was as if I was fighting cancer. That's how it was. I know that might sound a bit extreme and a bit...
I'm starting to feel a bit choked.
Yeah, but that might seem a bit funny to people, but people who's been through it will know exactly what I mean, and that's why I was there for, and that's what it was all about. And I'd have took Mayweather on, and it was 85 seconds, I won the fight, and then it was almost back to fundraising again then, so the fight was done. So although it was the springboard for this, I sometimes forget I've had it. So when ITV came out, she was really interested in the boxing, but I'd moved on from that. And I was like, "Yeah, but I want to open this shop, and I want to do this, and I've raised this much, and I want to help this," and it just completely took hold of me.
I think what we should do is so we can get Pauline a hanky. I'm cheering you up.
Sorry,
don't worry,
Pauline.
I'm cheering you up. What we'll do is we'll play a quick song. We'll have Mumford and Sons Believe. And then we'll come back and then we can find out all about your plans and how people can get in touch with you and keep in touch with you.
Yeah, I'll try and put something funny in because people have switched off. They want to be crying.
We're okay. Stay with us. It's 105.9 Bishop FM. We'll find out how you can get involved with the fundraising as well.